السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last week, Wednesday, so the person who was leading the group that is called Hamas in Gaza, so he was martyred, became shaheed. His name was Yahya Sinwar, and his kunyat was Abu Ibrahim. Abu Ibrahim, his name was Yahya Sinwar. So now we will say Rahimahullah, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his maghfirat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him high stages in Jannat al-Firdaus and admit him in the ranks of the shuhada. Allah ta'ala be pleased with his efforts. So we must understand that jihad is a fundamental aspect of our deen. Jihad is something, is a fundamental aspect of our deen. So sometime people ask that, how come now jihad has got killing and bloodshed and whatever. So jihad is actually to bring about peace. Jihad is to bring about peace, to bring about justice, to ensure that everybody lives in harmony. So the example given, the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in Ma'riful Quran, he says that jihad is like how when a person has got one limb that is diseased, and this limb, if it is not amputated, then it is going to cause destruction to the whole body. So you have to amputate that limb. So after you amputate that limb, now when you're amputating a limb, it's bloody, all that. But after you amputate that limb, then now the rest of the body is in peace. The rest of the body now is in peace. If Allah Ta'ala wills, now the disease will not spread and the person's body will be in peace. Recently, as a friend of mine, we were in madrasa together, and they had to amputate his leg. The Hafizul Quran, they had to amputate. First they amputated his foot, the front part of his foot, and after that they had to amputate his leg, just under the knee, they had to amputate. So when I went to visit him in hospital, so now you seeing a person now, the leg is amputated. Now you're wondering, what do you say to a person? How are you going to, are you going to console him, give him some words of encouragement? What are you going to say to the person? So I just asked him, I said, hey, how are you keeping? So he says to me, he says, Maulana, hey, Alhamdulillah, now I just have to contend with the operation pain. But Alhamdulillah, my body is not in pain. Because prior to that, for a good few months, I was suffering with a lot of pain. The doctors couldn't really find what the problem was. So now that that limb is amputated, now the body is in peace. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he gives this example with regards to jihad. The jihad is like how you have to amputate that limb. So yes, there will be difficulty in jihad and all that. But once the Muslim army is victorious, is triumphant, and in that land now the Shariat is established, the people in that land, they are now living under Muslim rule, then there will be prosperity in that land. There will be barakat in that land, there will be peace. Whether it is the non-Muslims that are living there, and especially the Muslims, everybody will benefit. Even the non-Muslims will benefit living under Muslim law. So jihad is something that has to take place, right? Whether it is defensive, whether it is offensive. Sometimes you get apologetic Muslims, they try to say that no, Muslims never ever went, you know, to war. They only defended themselves. So this is a lie. There's no such thing. Right? You have offensive jihad also, where you take the step, and you have defensive jihad where you are being attacked and you got to defend your land, you got to defend your deen, you got to defend your life. So this brother that passed away, Yahya Sinwar, you know, sometimes with us, you know, we, most of our deen, we received from the Indo-Pak region. Right? Most of our ulama, etc., they studied in India, Pakistan, right? And then they came back and they educated us. So whether you take our Darul Ulums, whether you take Tasawwuf, whether you take Tabligh, all of it comes from there. And we are very, very fortunate that the ulama of those regions, they emphasized a lot on sunnah, right? Many sunnats. And we find that these sunnats then come alive in the works of deen. Whether if a person has to go to a Darul Ulum, right? Now maybe prior to going to the Darul Ulum, he wasn't growing his beard, he wasn't wearing kurta, he wasn't wearing amama, he wasn't wearing topi, whatever. Now once you go to Darul Ulum, first term, second term, he comes home, now he says, he's a different person here now. He got short hair, he got amama, he's wearing kurta now, and he's different now. Same with the person who goes out in tabligh, right? He goes, he made his tashkil, and now he goes away 4 months. Now prior to that, his dressing was different, his mannerism was different. He goes for 4 months, he comes back, now he's a different person now. He's in kurta, beard. Same with the soap, person goes, he joins a khanka or something. Now he's different, now he's dressing up like his sheikh and he's imitating his sheikh. So what happens with us sometimes is we confine piety to only this. These are very, very important sunnahs. I'm not downplaying it. Every sunnah is very, very important. Right? So whether it is wearing the topi, whether it is growing a beard, wearing the pants above the ankle, wearing a kurta, using a miswak, eating with the right hand, whatever it, each and every sunnah is extremely important. And each and every sunnah has got a lot of value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in certain parts of the world, they never emphasized the sunnahs that this part of the world emphasized. But that doesn't mean that they don't have deen in them. There may be other aspects of deen that they're making amal upon, which we're not making amal upon. Right? Now, for example, you take these Muslims in Gaza, right? Hardly any wealth, hardly any equipment, nothing, right? But they, with the limited resources, what preparations they made to defend Islam, defend Masjid al-Aqsa, right, and fight a jihad. I mean, you just take the tunnel system underground, so many meters underground, kilometers and kilometers of tunnels, right? How long that must have taken to construct that? And what thinking, engineering, everything went into that to have that system in place, right? Then I was reading some articles from some Jewish newspapers, right? Just to check what they're saying on their side. So these Jewish parents now, they are complaining about how burnt out their children are. And one of the things they're saying is that what's ready finishing them up, these soldiers, Jewish soldiers, they go to an area, they blow it up. They finish the whole area, blow up the building, everything finished up. Only to have to return there and walk into booby traps. See, they finished up, there's nothing left there. It's uninhabitable. You can't live there, absolutely nothing. And then they are told that, no. There are people there, there's some, what they will call terrorists and all that. To us, we know that they are mujahideen. So they got to go back there now. And when they go back there, those same bombed up buildings now are booby trapped. So many of them are getting injured, so many of them are getting killed. They said this is like a senseless war. We're not getting anywhere with this thing, and it's just getting dragged so long. We're not making any progress here. Right? Now, a people with hardly any wealth, a people who were, they had embargoes on them, right? Whatever goes in, whatever comes out, everything must be verified and ratified by this Mal'un Yahud, right? But despite all of that, they made amal on the ayat, Infiru khifafu wa thiqala. Where's our amal? So we may be making amal on certain other aspects of deen, but we must not look down on people that are not making amal on those aspects. Because they may be making amal on other aspects of deen that we didn't even touch as yet. We didn't even touch it as yet. So, this Yahya Sinwar, he was imprisoned by this Yahud for plus minus 20 years. Right? He was imprisoned, right? For plus minus about 20 years. He was arrested, imprisoned, taken out, no, but if you have to add it up, plus minus 20 years he spent in Israeli prisons, right? But even the time he spent in the prison, he didn't waste his time. That time also he was planning. During his time in the prison, he wrote a book. He wrote a book describing the plight of the Palestinian people. And they say about 20 years ago, one day he wrote, while he was in prison, he wrote, he said, the time has come, O my mother, addressing his mother, he said, time has come. So he relates a dream that he seen that night. So he says that I saw myself killing them like sheep. He's talking about the Yahud soldiers. I saw myself killing them as sheep until I was martyred. Until I was martyred. And then he says that when I was martyred, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embraced me, took me with open arms, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, "Welcome, welcome, ahlan, ahlan." Close the windows. Close the back doors. So this dream he saw 20 years ago. Now ask yourself, what must have been his thirst for shahadat? What must have been, how he must have been yearning for martyrdom? Right? We talk about iman yaqeen. So, He was asked, aren't you afraid? When these people got their sights on you, and they want to assassinate you, so aren't you afraid? In different interviews, this question was put through to him. Right? So in one interview or program or something, he mentioned to the effect, he said, see, there's only 2 days in your life. One is the day that you are destined to live, and the other is the day that your death is destined. So this, he's quoting Sheikh Yasin. Sheikh Yasin, he was also a very prominent figure in Hamas. In fact, like all this Ismail Haniya and Yahya Sinwar and all that, they are like what you can call the students of Sheikh Yasin. They say that we are the sons of Sheikh Yasin. And that's why that launcher that they have is called also Yasin. It's named after him, Sheikh Yasin. So the Sheikh Yasin, our Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had gone to meet him. I think it was in 92, if I'm not mistaken. Right? So Hazrat had gone to meet him in Palestine. That time you could move around a little more freely in the north, etc., compared to now. But he was a man who was in a wheelchair. But the awe he struck in the heart of the enemy, they want to kill a man in a wheelchair. So much planning they put. They tried to assassinate him a couple of times. They failed. Eventually one day, when he was coming out of the masjid after Fajr, pushing him in a wheelchair, and these people, they fired some missile or rockets or whatever, and that's why he became Shaheed. Right? But a man in a wheelchair, this is the fear that when the Ummah will take up jihad, this is the fear that the Kafir will have. But the Ummah is busy with the dunya. Right? And the Ummah is busy slicing itself up. So that's why there's no ru'ub. Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that on the one hand, in Palestine, you see those people who are prepared to give their last drop of blood for deen. And those people, the Ummah is indebted to them. On the other hand, Hazrat says, I'm going to the Haram for Salah. I pass by a Muslim businessman, so he tells me, please man, come and buy something here in my shop. I don't know no business today. So Hazrat told him, see, Azan is going. Hey, let's go for Salah. After Salah, I'll come buy something from your shop. But now it's Azan is going, it's Namaz time, we have to go for Salah. So he responded to Hazrat, he said, no, man, I haven't done sales today. I can't close for Salah. Right? So Hazrat said, it's not only there. Back home is the same story. We are caught up in our world. We see our children, what they are indulging in, what they are doing, what's their pastimes, how they are carrying on. Right? And we don't only okay it, we're quite proud about it. Right? So then, where is our land and our loins going to give birth to the Mujahideen of the Ummah? So, that was the one thing he mentioned. So he said that the day on which you are destined to live, so then, no matter what the enemy tries to do, they won't be able to kill you. And the day your death is destined, no matter how much your people try to protect you, they won't be able to protect you. Now, is that Iman and Yaqeen or not? You talk about Iman and Yaqeen, but here is a man practically showing us. So the Kuffar were saying that, he was, he's ducking in the tunnels, and you got all the Jewish hostages around him. So if anybody has to get to him, they won't be able to kill him and all that. But his shahadat proved them to be liars. And his shahadat proved to us that if Allah Ta'ala wants to protect you, right, with all their intelligence, Allah Ta'ala showed us this in Afghanistan, and Allah Ta'ala showed us this here again in Gaza. If only we can take lesson. In Afghanistan, the person they were looking for was Mullah Omar. Now with all their drones and their high tech technology and everything, they're looking for him everywhere. Say, no, this person must be, he now is out of the country, or he's here, or he's in some mountains, in some cave. He was a couple of meters away from them fighting. He was active in battle fighting them, until he was made Shaheed. So the same with Yahya Sinwar. They saying, no, he's in the tunnels and he's here and he's there. He was active in battle. And the ajeeb thing, he's 62 years of age. Islamically, he may be 63, 64. And in battle. What must have been his thirst for shahadat, right? Then one alim, I think Maulana Ahmad Parak, one alim, he's giving his description, right? So he says, the Ja'far, referring to as the Ja'far radiallahu anhu, the Ja'far of our time, Yahya Sinwar. Because Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu, when he was in the battle, they cut off his one hand. So he held the flag of Islam in the other hand. When they cut off his other hand, he held the flag with the, you know, with the stumps of his arms. Until he was martyred, he never let the flag fall. So this Yahya Sinwar, his one hand was amputated, whether it got smashed or rocket or bullet or whatever, right? His one hand, right hand. His left hand, they say his fingers, his trigger finger, whatever, that thing too was damaged. But the person is still standing in battle. And they say right till the end he fought. Till he had life in him, he fought. When he couldn't use his guns no more, he still hurled grenades at this kuffar. Right? And then eventually they sent one drone into that building. Right? Now he can't use his hands also, no trigger finger also, but he took a stick and he threw it at that drone. So, you know how you have proverbs? Now there is a new proverb that they made. Ramitu bi asas sinwar. So I threw with the stick of sinwar. So how you say like foot as a fiddle? So foot as a fiddle means the person is very fit, right? So this proverb, Ramitu bi asas sinwar, it means now I put all my effort into this thing. All my effort I put into it. Because he gave whatever he had. And put everything into it until eventually he breathed his last. Facing the enemy, fighting, not ducking anywhere like a coward running away from them. So they say on him was his AK-47. He had his sidearm, his pistol, it was a Glock 19 pistol that he had on him, and then he had some cash on him, he had a tasbih, and he had a kitab with a compilation of du'as. That was the possessions on him. So once when they were asking him, doesn't he fear the enemy? So he said, the best gift they can give me is if they make me shaheed. At that time, he was 59 years of age. So this was about 3 years ago. Right? So he's saying, I'm 59 now. When you reach 59, now you're heading for your qabr now. So I prefer them shooting me with the F-16 or some missile or something and I become shaheed, rather than dying at home or dying with some sickness. That time was COVID. Dying with this corona or dying with a motor car accident. So better than all of that. They'll do me a favor. The best gift they can give me is if they make me shaheed. And true to his word, he faced in battle. He didn't duck somewhere like Netanyahu sitting in his office giving orders. These are Muslim, true Muslim leaders, that they are in the front line of battle. They're not sitting in an office somewhere and sending other people to get demoralized in the battlefield, like presently what's happening with the Jewish soldiers. They are there in the front line because they want shahada. So now, there was another, there were good few statements he made. One was that once when he was asked that, about the, you're not afraid, whatever, he said, I'm here, I'm having a conference here, we live on air, they know where I am. And after this, 10 minutes later, I'm going to walk down the street and go to my office. They know where my office is. I'm not hiding from anybody. And he said, from now onwards, most of my journey will be on foot. Because you're not traveling, going out anyway. He said, I'm walking. I walk in the road, I walk in the street. I'm walking. So I won't bat an eyelid. They want to come kill me and all that. I won't even bat an eyelid. No problem. So Allah Ta'ala, give us also that courage. One is, that courage comes with strong iman. Courage doesn't just come, it's not macho talk. One is macho talk. We talk macho, we think, war is not something that you just go through war with macho-ness. It's easy to talk. It is iman, strong iman, that will keep a person steadfast. Strong iman. So inshallah, he had that strong iman. So we take example. We take example from these kind of people, right? And unlike what the kuffar want us to feel, they want us to feel that now, and he mentioned this in his life also. He said, yeah, they want to kill me, then they will advertise my photos and say, we killed Sinwar. He says, so what? I'll die, another leader will come. And he said, when you pick up my body, that must be a banner you're picking up. Banner for the cause. So, to us, when a person receives martyrdom, that is victory. Martyrdom is victory. Martyrdom is what you're thirsting for. Martyrdom is the grand prize for a believer. To become a shaheed, that's the grand prize for a believer. He shows his full loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, my last breath, my last put of life, I gave it for you. I gave it for you in defense of your deen, in propagation of your deen. So unlike the kuffar now, they look at everything like one match. We killed that leader, we did this, we did that. But Abu Ubaidah, he mentioned very beautifully, he said, this land produces martyrs just as it produces olives. This land produces martyrs just as it produces olives. So the indictment is on the rest of the ummah. Indictment is on the rest of the ummah. This CC and Bin Zaid, Bin Salman, Sisi, the Jordan chap, right? These people, are actually protecting the kuffar army. They are protecting the kuffar army. Right? And you see all these countries, etc., that they have made. This is all the plot of the kuffar. Right? The Islamic system. Islamic system is you have one khalif. And he rules the entire Muslim world. There's no this country, that country, that. No, this is the Muslim world. So if any part of the Muslim world is being attacked, it affects the whole Muslim world. That one khalif is responsible to dispatch an army to go and assist those people. Now all this dividing, all this is your country, this is your country, that Sisi is, he shares a border with Gaza, right? He gives the land next to the border to the Mal'un Yahud. And his army is protecting that army. That no aid must go inside. People who want to give their life, people who want to go and assist, they mustn't be allowed to go also. Now what type of Muslim is that? Allah alone knows whether they are Muslim. We can't label anybody, but Allah alone knows. The Sisi, his mother is a Moroccan Jew. Right? Bin Salman is brought up by a Jewess. The Bin Zaid, Allah alone knows where he came from. Right? But all these people, they're not working for deen. You know, you can see what they're doing in their countries. They're not working for Islam. They're not working to establish deen in their lands. But they're not worried about Muslims and Islam and all that. And we sitting here, know when the Muslim countries are going to do something. Which Muslim countries? There is no Muslim country. The only country that has some semblance of Islam is Afghanistan. A Muslim country is not a people with Muslims. A Muslim country is a place where the Sharia is established. For as long as the Sharia is not established, that's not a Muslim country. We live like fools, like what we call Islamic schools and Muslim schools. That's not Muslim. There's nothing to do about Islam and Muslim here if the Sharia is not established there. You can give it a big fancy name, Muslim school, Islamic school, but if you're not establishing deen inside there, then that's not Muslim and that's not Islamic. We can have our homes, we put a big Hamim la yunsarun and a big sign outside, Ahlan wa Sahlan, and we put Yasin Sharif inside and a frame of Kaaba Sharif and Medina Sharif and all that. But the house is bought on interest. The activities in that house are un-Islamic. There is no parda in that home. TV is blaring in that home. Music is in that home. Haram activities are in that home. Is that an Islamic home? It's not an Islamic home. So we got no Islamic country. The only country that got some semblance is Afghanistan. They got some laws of Sharia there. Understand? So this, even Gaza itself, when Hamas came into power, right, they never established Sharia. They established a democratic system. Right? That was their weakness. Allah Ta'ala forgive them. Right? But now maybe they will realize that the only way to go is to establish Allah's law on earth. When Allah's law will be established, then Allah's nusrat will come. Allah's help will come. Understand? But these people give the ummah some hope. When you see people like this, give their life for Allah's deen, then it gives the ummah some courage. And we got some people in the ummah that got a spine. Not everybody is spineless like us. There is some people in the ummah that Allah Ta'ala has given a spine to them. They can stand up for deen. In fact, this Yahya Sinwar, he was martyred on Wednesday. So, on Thursday night, somebody had a dream. Right? So he had a dream that this Yahya Sinwar, rahimahullah, now dreams are Basharat also. So he is dreaming that Yahya Sinwar is addressing a congregation. Now, in the dream, he is regarding that congregation to be a congregation of Sahaba. They are Sahaba sitting there. Right? So he is sitting there and he is having an address. And after that, he climbs the minbar to deliver the khutbah. So this person, he asked for the tabir of this ru'ya, of this dream. So the tabir, the interpretation of the dream was that the mujahada and the difficulties that the people of Gaza are experiencing and the efforts that they are making is like a namuna, is like a sample of what Sahaba Ranaunum went through. And more especially, the effort that Abu Basir radiallahu anhu made. Now that's another, we're going to start talking about that, what happened after Sulh Hudaybiyah and how they ended up on the coast and what havoc they caused with the enemy. Inshallah, we'll discuss it some other time. Our time is out. Allah Ta'ala bless these souls. Allah Ta'ala grant Nusrat. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them, the difficulties that they are going through. And definitely the blood that is shed on the ground of these believers, it must bear fruit. It must bear fruit. It will bear fruit, and Allah Ta'ala will allow for more and more mujahideen to be born. And we must remember that this war is not against the people of Gaza. And this war is not confined to there. So, O youth, prepare yourself. You must prepare yourself. And have that yearning in our heart that, Ya Allah, I too want to give my life in your path. I also want to give my life in your path. You must have that wish and desire. If a mu'min doesn't have that desire, then there is some badbu of hypocrisy in him. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله